Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Philippe Matousse, a pessimistic marketer at Evergreen Reputation. Philippe, I was quite afraid of introducing you that way, but you were quite happy with it, weren't you? Pessimistic marketer.
I think so. I mean, I could be quite negative when it comes to marketing, but when marketing works, I get quite excited. But yeah, I guess I have a critical eye when it comes to marketing.
I was confident that the second our audience heard you speak, they would realize that you weren't pessimistic at all. You were quite bouncy and
I can be, but I am sometimes that negative pickle in the room. So it depends how you catch me.
Philippe, tell us a bit about Philippe and what you do.
Sure. I mean, I got my background years ago. I used to be in public relations, and so. Kind of learning the ropes. I used to do a lot of consumer type PR, so launching, the new Air Jordans, video games. Basically, it was my job to pitch in stories into media and get coverage. And I think that the big change where I started to come, and start to fall in love with marketing more than PR was. PR usually was judged by the amount of column inches and the amount of articles that you would land.
Yeah.
So that's what you're getting paid for. Clients would say, you needed to get a certain amount of coverage. I found that usually I was actually more interested in, well, what did all this coverage achieve? Like how many sales of product actually came off the back of this? What was that piece of, that article in that magazine really? Did that affect the needle at all for the business? And I think over the years, being the guy that was more interested in the actual marketing result as opposed to the creative end of the marketing, eventually, made me, and I'm actually quite happy these days looking at numbers, measuring marketing channels, and I'm completely unromantic about whatever marketing channel is being used, be it PR, ads, SEO, email marketing. I don't care. If it moves business forward, then I'm excited by that.
So yeah, the whole approach of today's talk, really, isn't it, Philippe, is more about this sort of the pragmatic approach and the cutting the hype in online marketing, which leads me very nicely onto the first question. It's a sort of a question that's almost a rite of passage, and I have to ask this question. Where do you see social media fitting into online marketing?
I think it's not no longer as sexy as it used to be. I mean, this was a few years ago, it was so exciting, but now it's standard, isn't it? I'll say, for example, with social media, one of our clients is St. Pancras in London. If you come through train stations, you probably know the station quite well.
Or St. Pancras, as I like to call it, as opposed to St. Liver. And
don't worry, we have searches set up for St. Pancras because that comes up all the time.
Of course, for those of you who aren't from London, St. Pancras is one of our major railway stations.
And it's a lovely place to come into and the awareness that actually it's a great place to eat, drink, shop. It hasn't been like that. It's been 6 years or so. But to answer your question, where does social media fit in? One of the things with social media that often people don't get is that social media as a marketing channel is an it helps assist towards sales. It's rarely the point that it's rarely the last marketing channel that's used before a sale. So what I mean by that is, let's say someone first stumbles on your company website by Googling, let's say it's places to go shopping in North London, for example. And maybe they stumble on the St. Pancras website and are looking through kind of what's in the station. One of the ways people kind of keep in touch or keep tabs on things that they're interested in is they obviously they might follow them on social media. Now, if you then take that channel and you just consistently throw right hooks and buy this, buy that, come here, we've got this deal, here's a coupon, here's an offer, that's quite boring and it usually doesn't resonate on social media.
Yeah.
However, if you use it, and for the St. Pancras example, you know, put up lots of imagery of the station, show off how luxurious and nice it is, that makes people interested in visiting. And I think we learned that because we also, a year ago, we did offers. So, you know, 2-for-1 offers for the champagne bar, for example. And realizing that the type of people that come to there aren't that interested in getting coupons or the cheapest deal, but it actually put off people brand wise, was just one example of how to use social media. So for a lot of people and a lot of situations, social media is a great channel to assist people towards a sale, but don't expect to be able to use social media exclusively to drive a lot of sales.
Yeah. I mean, I have to ask as well, the other rite of passage question, because content marketing is really, quote, in the news. He does air quotes at the moment.
Sure, sure.
Where does that sit with you?
I think it's becoming, every year you can tell how much more competitive it is. So something, a piece of content that was good enough in 2013,
yeah,
noticeably, is it's a lot harder in 2014. And I think that's, you look at where money is being spent. So many companies are now, they are buying into, you know what, if we educate our audience, come across as trustworthy, hey, you know what, content might be the way to do it. And because of that, there's better and better content out there. And if you're coming out with something that worked in 2013, or you think it's good enough, in your mind, you have to realize there's an absolute brawl for the next company to come in and provide you with their piece of content that's more interesting.
Yeah.
It's being blunt about it. It's realizing that Reddit's a click away. Porn is a click away. There's so many different distractions that as a marketer, if you're not being real about it and realizing that people are so distracted these days, you've got to have some excellent content marketing to last. I think, and one other thing with content marketing is a transaction. And so what I mean by that is, Andy, if you give me a blog post to read or I listen to one of your podcasts,
yeah,
I'm trusting you. I'm saying, you know what, Andy, I'm going to take 15 minutes. I'm going to give you 15 minutes of my attention. And for that, I better get something that was worthwhile. Now, if you fulfill that and you give me a piece of content that actually, you know, does that and it works,
yeah,
then I'll trust you and I might tune in for your next piece of content. And if you do that over and over, I might become a loyal fan. However, if you give me something that's good enough or it's okay, you won't stand out and I'll probably never come back. And I think content marketing is important, but people often underestimate how incredibly competitive it's getting.
We could talk all night about this. I don't know why I said night. It's the afternoon, but never mind. Oh, it's the morning over here, actually.
Sure.
Let's move on to goals and analytics, because I know you are a champion of a pragmatic approach.
Sure.
The importance of simple goals in analytics. A lot of organizations not doing it properly.
I'd say it's amazing how many different rooms, and I sometimes consult for various PR agencies, and I'm amazed what could take you an hour to just set up you know, simple goals and analytics. So instead, when you show up in a, you know, a team meeting and you go over analytics, you know, you're doing it wrong. If someone says, well, this month we got 3,000 unique visitors to our website. The simple litmus test for analytics is when you review analytics, there better be some business actions that come off of the back of that. If there's no business actions that are actually resulting from you reviewing your analytics, why are you even bothering? What's the point of it? And I'd say one of the core skills to starting to do analytics right is understanding what goals are. So maybe a lot of listeners are using Google Analytics. What goals do you have set up? Do you have goals set up when people come to your contact page and send you an email or get in touch? Like, what are you trying to measure? Is it leads? You know, it's really not that hard to do. And it's underwhelming how many people are actually doing that, that are serious business players.
We had a recent episode, I think it was Felice, we were talking to about trust signals. And I know in our pre-chats, because we have these secret pre-chats, listeners, before we do the actual interview.
We
scheme away and plot how we're going to take over the world. We got talking about it, didn't we? Because you've got a view on sort of team member pages, specific team member pages, haven't you?
Yeah, and I mean, I am biased because a lot of our clients are in the service space. But one of the most important pages on your website is your individual team member pages. Even if you're a small company, and there's only a few of you to there's hundreds or thousands of you, individual pages that show off that person and how they fit into the company are usually some of the most visited pages on any website. And part of that reason is because usually it ranks quite well for their name. So if I Google Andy White and I'm looking for a bio, I can usually find that. What I find that, and I look at these so often that I see so many common trends, is that most pages forget, or at least a good chunk of them forget to show instead of tell. And, yeah. And what that means is, I'll say, for example, if I say, you know what, I am passionate about Google Analytics. Actually, that says nothing. And when you think about it, of all the LinkedIn profiles out there and team member pages, the word passionate and other completely useless words like that are all over the place. And if they weren't abused to death, then they'd actually mean something, but they don't. And so the antidote to coming across as bland and completely uninspiring is show what you actually do.
Yeah.
So that you use Google Analytics to drive X amount of sales for this company, or you like paint stories. There's just so much blandness and people, I guess, patting themselves on the back a little bit. I'm a team player and this and that. Like, well, honestly, like, you know, it's again, it's being a little bit real about how it looks from the outside.
It does remind me, actually, of once when I was a very young man, thousands of years ago, I was applying for a sales job and they gave me a quick telephone interview. And one of the things I said was, well, I like meeting people. To which they responded, well, get on the bus, you'll meet people there.
I
felt such a fool.
But it's...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's the truth. It's even, you know, when I say this, tell and don't show, like, it, like, even the photography and everything, like, try to show off who you actually are. It's just,
yeah,
you know, it's so easy to blend in, and nothing blends you in more than actually not saying anything by using marketing speak.
Let's talk about, I like to call them platforms is probably a better name. Mm. Channels is probably a better name. Marketing, sure. Channels and people's over-eagerness to jump into certain sort of marketing patterns, right, and platforms.
Well, you know what? I'm also, we each have our favorite go-to marketing channels. So perhaps, it, you know, you're someone that really likes using email marketing, or you're using AdWords a lot for your business. There's going to be a channel that you're excited by. Maybe you're someone that loves social media, and that is the channel that you use. I think there's so much to be gained from by testing and optimizing as you go. So, for example, like right now, we've got a client that needs to sell event tickets in March, and one of the main channels that they've used in the past that are using right now is email marketing. So, yeah, getting big lists, sending them, converting them. Why not test? And in this case, we're testing both social media, specifically through LinkedIn, and through AdWords, to compare the cost of each marketing channel against the other channels. And you'll find that if you can exercise a little bit of patience and actually take on, you know, maybe it's every few months, take on a new marketing channel just to see if it could perform and if it could actually add to your marketing arsenal.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen nearly enough, because, and it's natural, it's human nature. You found something that kind of works, or it's working okay, and you say, you know what, I'm comfortable with that. I don't want to take a risk and try new stuff. But you'll find, like, we've got another client that sells WordPress themes. Yeah. And 2 years ago, the main way that these themes were being sold was through Google search. Last year, they made the jump to using affiliates as their main marketing channel. A couple months ago, the affiliate started to dry up, and it's like, well, SEO isn't really doing it. Affiliate stuff isn't doing it. And actually now a combination of AdWords and remarketing is starting to replace the gap left by those other marketing channels. So I guess it's that encouragement of, if you found in the last year that you've only gone to the same marketing channel or same two marketing channels, why not try a third and test it against the others?
It's what they say, isn't it? The only constant is change.
it's trite, and it almost, you know, it's like plan a fail, you fail a plan, you plan a fail, and all this stuff. Like, it feels so dry, but there's sadly a lot of truth in it.
Yeah, I suppose it's finding a balance, isn't it, between sort of doing what you know works, but also putting sort of tendrils out into other directions, just to sort of experimenting, I suppose, and just see which other channels could work for you as well, and being open minded and prepared to jump if you feel that the other channel is better. Well,
that's the thing. If you think evolution just applies in biology, it's it's in marketing. It's so aggressive in marketing how fast evolution works.
Now, let's talk about brand and design. And I don't know, maybe larger organizations, this notion of sort of falling in love with brand and design. Yep. What are your feelings about that?
Stop me when this sounds familiar, but when you're presenting, let's say, a new look or some sort of a way to package a product, a service, often the hippo, the highest paid person in the room, is they're going to say, oh, I love the way that looks. Or they're going to say, oh, yeah, that sentence, that totally sums up what we're about.
Yeah.
This is so common. It's like,
it's on brand.
Yeah, it's on brand. We love it.
Yeah.
And internally, everyone's high-fiving each other. There's butt slaps going on. Everyone's excited, right? Well, right. And why not step back and play a little bit of the pessimist and at least say, you know what? could this be better? Is this really that good? Can we actually test this? If we have two different versions of our brand, maybe two different, you know, mission statements or product offering statements, can we just for the hell of it, let's do an A/B test and let's drive a few hundred quid worth of AdWords to each of the two different new sentences that we've come up with, and let's see if which one of those actually brings about more leads or more sales if you have a cheap product. Like, there's this fear to test stuff, and we hear about it all the time, A/B test this, try new variations on that, but in practice, it doesn't happen much because it's a little bit of effort, and it's that fear of what if our logo sucks? What if actually the design of our website's terrible, or the way we present our product isn't as good as it could be? I recommend is fall out of love with your brand, try to look at it from a few different perspectives, and then that test a few different options. And this never stops. This always keeps, you know, every year you're going to probably be doing this. I don't know how else to say it. It's just, if your ego is tied to your brand,
yeah,
it's eventually going to hold you up. I see it over and over.
I suppose it boils down to trying to be a little bit more or a little bit less emotional in your marketing design decisions, I suppose.
Yeah, easier said than done. Even me, when I'm coming up with a new look or a new way to package a product for a client, I fall into the trap too. My personal bias, I'm like, oh, that looks so good, or oh, that really ties it up. But then I'll put it out and I'll test it, and it's often surprising which one actually is the right choice.
So finally, Philippe, let's talk about reputation and how people are getting a grasp on the reputation.
Sure. I mean, so we're called Evergreen Reputation. So probably we have a little bit of interest in reputation, but it's this idea of often, just like all these marketing channels that we've been talking about, you have an emotional response to your reputation. So you might say, you know, as a company, we think we're perceived of in this way. Mm-hmm. As a personal brand, as a professional, I think people, you know, perceive me in, you know, whatever manner. What you can do, just like all these other marketing channels that you are measuring, why not start to measure your reputation? Because a lot of your business often comes through word of mouth and that kind of thing. And you can measure that. So when you do go into Google Analytics, if it's for your company website, set up and start to measure each time people come to your homepage. If your homepage ranks for your company brand, then look at the people on your team and look at their individual team pages. And that's where the if comes into, you have to do a little bit of work beforehand and make sure that these pages rank for their individual names. Mm. That being said, if you do have that in place and you've optimized it SEO-wise, so your homepage ranks for your brand, your about pages, specific team pages rank for those people, is start looking at the amount of visits each month that are coming in for searches for your name and or brand name. And what you'll find, and I've seen this, one of the PR agencies I consult for, there's about 40 of them right now. And of the dozen client-facing, you know, kind of top of the company names, those people get visits to their page about, I'd say, 3-4 times a week. And what you can do inside of Google Analytics is not only find how many times people are searching for you and coming to your page, but then take a look at what are the company names that are actually searching for you. So you can look in when you go into Google Analytics and you look at networks. If it's a larger company, you can say, well, this bank has been looking at us, this, you know, this service provider. You can actually get a real idea of how your reputation is serving you. And you can start to look at how all these other marketing channels are impacting your reputation. And, you know, is it most of your business through word of mouth? Is it through all these other channels?
Yeah.
There's a way of, again, putting numbers to your reputation. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm just saying that there's a better gauge of your reputation than just your emotional reaction or your emotional thoughts.
Philip, we've actually covered quite a few sort of disparate, as a good word, word of the day, disparate topics here. If you could boil it down into one top tip, because a lot of our listeners are sort of one-man bands, small businesses, medium-sized businesses. If you could sort of nail it down into one or two top tips from the pessimistic Philip, what would they be?
I think take it's not just, you know, there's people that are huge that use pessimism as a way of improving their marketing. If you look at Charlie Munger, for example, who is the top investor advisor to Warren Buffett, he's a negative, fast thinker. And it's not that you're always negative, but play the other side. It's so easy to be in love with your marketing, with your brand, with how you're doing things. The ability to step outside of yourself and try to look at what isn't going so well, what negative perceptions might people have. Is the copy that I'm actually using, is it really that good? Like, and what makes it good? Can I prove it numerically? I think that is the big tip, is learn to view things in different perspectives, sometimes in negative perspectives. No, don't always dwell in negativity, but kind of, you know, devil's advocate type stuff.
I was going to say, that was a word that was on the tip of my tongue, devil's advocate, yeah.
That's it. I mean, it's a huge thing to swallow because it hits on ego and emotion. And if you're in business, you know that ego and emotion, it runs the show. I mean, that's why people buy. That's why you do what you do. It's hard to separate from it, but you need to improve.
So how can people find out about you and about Evergreen Reputation? Because you're a speaker as well, aren't you, Philippe?
I do. Yeah, I'm mostly in the trench working, but every few months I speak as well. You can find me on evergreenreputation.com or on Twitter. I'm just at Philippe Matous. That's FilipMatous.
Philippe Matous, thank you very, very much indeed. And thank you for all our listeners for listening. Of course, you can find the show notes at sitevisibility.com/IM podcast. And we have an email hotline, if there is such a thing, podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk, and a telephone hotline, +44 if you're outside of the UK, 1273 256 150. And of course you can find us on iTunes, and we love reviews as well. So it's goodbye from me, Andy White. It's goodbye from Philippe.
Goodbye.
You nearly forgot, didn't you? And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.